Point of emphasis, and I'm not going to leave this up for very long. The man's image who's looking over my shoulder is Xi Jinping's military control successor. And CNN's starting to report turmoil in China. They're about a month behind me. Fox is skirting around the issue. The only ones telling you the truth are people from China, or in communication with people from China. And there has been ongoing a purge. And I've taken some hits just fine. That's not happening, Dave. He went to whatever country. Dignitary. It's a slow burn change. We're going to tell you all about it right here on the Common Sense Show. I'm Dave Hodges, the host. We're the show, Freeing America, One Enslaved Mind at a Time. We're brought to you by this great product right here. Want to look younger? Want to feel younger? Hair stop falling out, wrinkles stop forming, joints feeling better, more energy. Replace the collagen of which you've lost half of by the time that you're in middle age, and that's your elixir of youth. Most collagen products do not work. This does. BioTrust is the manufacturer. They research everything. They give you a 60-day money-back guarantee. They're so sure this will work for you, and a 51% discount. Go to healthwithdave.com. That's healthwithdave.com. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let's remove Zhang Jiang. It's safe to say I don't like communist Chinese looking over my shoulder. And you shouldn't either. This man has taken military control away from Xi Jinping. I have told you that I misread the situation back in March. When people around Xi started dropping dead like flies. Now, I thought it was a coup against them for being disloyal to him. It was his inner circle, and the CCP leadership is taking them out. The CCP has publicly rebuked the leadership of Xi Jinping. Now, he's still serving as figurehead, but his power is being systematically removed. He's in control of three aspects, all three aspects of the CCP. Xi was. The military was taken away. Why would you start with the military? Simple. If you started with the political, the military might rise up and crush that. So you've got to get a hold of the power base first. And that is what has happened here. The man's photo you saw. Zhang Xia, how's my Chinese? Spelled YOUXIA. First name, in fact, she says Zhang. Looks like Zhang. Zhang. He has assumed control. Now, he has an axe to grind against Xi Jinping. He was an up-and-coming military figure. Their fathers were friends. They were both in the movement together, the communist movement, and it looked like he was headed for big time and he got shoved aside. Not shoved aside any longer. That's the man. Let me tell you what the Central Planning Committee said for the CCP. Xi Jinping has alienated the world against us. Xi Jinping has been too overt and boisterous. We are returning our military to the doctrine of hidden and long term. Now, I predict the political leader that's going to emerge is Yan Zhang, Yan Wang. No, Wen Yang, excuse me. If you're not familiar with Chinese names, you get challenged and you got to practice them before you come on air. Wen Yang, spelled Wang. Yang. Looks like Wang Yang. That's not how you say it in Chinese. No disrespect to the Chinese. He's a moderate. He wants normalized economic relations with the West. He wants China to participate in the IMF. What? Oh, yeah, that's right. They want to appear not to be imperialistic. He's a moderate. The liberal faction of the Communist Party is raising its head. They want to normalize relationships with the West. But let's get down to some brass tacks because it ain't smooth sailing. Looks like, oh, gee, maybe we could be friends with China. I can't see a scenario where that happens. They talked about in their Central Planning Committee, and they released this. This is public. The Chinese websites are all publishing this now. The government's trying to wipe it out as fast as they can, but these people are using encryption, VPNs, third-party sites. And the government's not been really successful in their censorship. But what's really interesting about this takeover, this coup d'etat, it's a slow burn coup d'etat, is that they acknowledge that the Chinese elite have moved 2 trillion won out of the country into the West, where there are better investments. They are afraid that, and I don't think we're going to see an invasion of Taiwan now. I may have to reverse my position from earlier today, going back several months. If we're to believe these Chinese documents, and they're not diversionary to make us have false beliefs and let our guard down. But they said that we are infiltrating with our elite's wealth every aspect of Western society, and we need to continue our slow burn infiltration. Hello, this is why I said take away the Chinese farmland. I would stop all student visas. 300,000 in this country. You know how many they let into China under close supervision? 10,000. This is invasion by stealth. And if you don't think that it's not being effective, let's start with Mitch McConnell. This is on senatorial disclosures. His wife's parents, who she was also a government official under Biden, his wife's parents control the 6 major ports in China. Mitch reports over $20 million of annual income from trade and consulting and consulting. Yeah. And this is why this man never votes to help Taiwan. Pretty simple. Our senator here in Arizona, Mark Kelly, same kind of financial disclosures show up involving China. And I'll give you a third and a final, but not the only three examples. The Joe Biden family. All I have to do is look at sworn congressional testimony. That's all you got to do to see the Chinese influence. I can't help but mention this. Here in Maricopa County, the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors, former Representative Jack Sellers, nose deep with the Chinese, the whole board. Our 3 of our 4 major universities, all 3 public. China, China, China. It's working. And the old guard in the CCP wanted to continue. Now, this is another reason why Xi has fallen into disfavor. He became the sole dictator. There's 7 families that have ancestral rights to power and wealth. They're the descendants of the originating founding fathers of the Communist Chinese Party. Oh, were they pissed? They've come out publicly and rebuked Xi. If he's still in charge, they'd be in jail or worse. And they said, we sacrificed financially so he could play dictator. I'm paraphrasing into more English idiomatic expressions, but that's effectively what they said. Now, let's answer the big question. Why not just kill him? Why not just take away all his power and house arrest him? I could tell you why. This is a slow burn coup. It's like the frog in the boiling pot. Turn up the heat bit by bit. You don't even know there's a problem until it's too late. They're trying to avoid public scrutiny. And I'm going to say this. This is a revolution that's coming along at the wrong time. Something we'll cover tomorrow. How widespread are the protests? I'll just answer the question here basically, and tomorrow I'll give you examples. Very widespread. They run the risk if they do a blanket coup, and everybody knows what happened, that the people are going to take their anger in the streets about their broke economy, their broke job market, they're broke everything. And they're going to see that as another event to get angry at. And they may just, out of ignorance, support Xi, even though he's the reason they're in this mess. So they're trying to do this systematically. They will slowly remove all three facets of power. The military is gone. And I told you this before, across the board. Official Chinese publications. They're not using the idiomatic verbiage reserved for the supreme leader. He's getting mediocre praise, but they're conditioning the people to move away from him. How long will it be till they take away his political power? I'm hearing it's going to happen before July 18th. And there's significance in that data. I'll explain at a later time. It's a little complicated. But I look for that to happen. China's in chaos. China's had their butt kicked by Trump. The tariffs are killing them on top of an already failed economy. They need to suck up to Trump. So you say, well, wait a minute, Dave. Didn't they just send airplanes that you said are dangerous to national security into Iran? With who knows what supplies for their military? Yes, Xi Jinping. That was decided a week ago. Today, the leadership has changed. I would be shocked if we see any more of this. China may come as a peacemaker. I would if I were them and say, okay, we'll get the Ayatollah to stand down, agree to no nuclear weapons, but you got to restore what you destroyed. Because they need Iran, as I pointed out in the last segment. You're getting some good information here. I'm telling you, you stay tuned. CNN, I read some of their stuff today. They got maybe 40% of this. And it's not that they can't find out what I know, they could find out easily. They're choosing not to print it at this time for political reasons. Those will become more apparent as we move into the next several days. I'm Dave Hodges. This is The Common Sense Show. Sign up for our newsletter at thecommonsenseshow.com. Click on the newsletter link. Put your email address in. No, we do not sell it. No data sale here. And then you'll get an update of everything we do for the previous 24 hours. Over 50,000 people are taking advantage of this. One-stop shopping. And best of all, it's free. Hello, America, and to our friends around the world. Welcome to the Common Sense Show. I'm Dave Hodges, the host, and we are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. If you could look at my file there just off the edge of the camera, you can see it's really loaded. I mean, we got more stuff today to cover than I can shake a stick at, but let's get right to it. First of all, we are brought to you by Noble Gold. With the fallout in China, I mean, the absolute collapse of their economy, it's going to have a lot of effects on America. We've done a segment on that previously. But one of the things that's going to happen is going to affect our banks. Our banks were heavily vested in China. To some degree, we still are to a bit, but there's been a major pullback, layoffs, bank closures. There's just a remnant standing in China. With American-based banks. I'm talking B of A, Wells Fargo, JP Chase Morgan. HSBC is in total chaos economically because of the Chinese downfall. Now, what does this mean for you? Well, presently, with a list that's not been updated in almost 5 months, we have 66 American banks on the severe watch list, according to the Federal Reserve. Don't you think you need to take defensive action in case your bank becomes one of the ones that are affected? And under the Dodd-Frank law of 2010, look it up if you don't believe me. Dodd-Frank 2010. they can keep your money. If things get severe enough for the bank, they'll keep your retirement. They'll keep your 401k, your IRA, your passbook, your savings, your checkings, and any other accounts that you have, like CD holdings. Do you want that to happen? Of course not. So what are you going to do? You're going to consult with Noble Gold. They're the best that I've ever dealt with. There's no pressure, no call centers. You'll have to close your own deal because they're trained to do business that way, but they will rescue you from potential devastation. You don't think it can happen? Look around the world. I sleep better at night because I'm associated with Noble Gold. Start with your retirement. 877-646-5347. 877-646-5347. And when you call, I invite you to say, Dave Hodges is sounding the alarm. There's potential danger out there. We're interviewing the first week in July, Colin Plume, who's the CEO of Noble Gold. He sent me some preliminary talking points. I may be understating the threat. I'll just put it to you that way. I'll announce when Colin's going to be on. We're going to do a 30-minute intense session. Well, speaking of intensity, I want to talk to you about world peace. My notion of world peace is really shaped by my Christian faith. We're all children of God. I don't care what country you're in, what your race is, your religion. Some people are misguided and they have the right to be misguided, but I'm, from my book, they are. And I think it leads to aberrant behavior, immoral behavior. You look at the Iranian regime, they are clearly out of control, have been for decades. It's a horrible thing to be an Iranian citizen. And I hear it from citizens from Iran that live in this country. I hear it all the time. I've interviewed people from Iran, live in Iran. Shaheen Gobadi, most recent, now has to live in exile in Paris because he dared to talk about something called freedom. Horrible. And Russia, if you look at crowd shots of Russia, people on YouTube like to put these, look at Moscow, here are the streets, here's what they do, here's how the people dress, here's how they look. It's kind of interesting to watch it for about 5 minutes. You can really learn a lot. And one of the things, I showed a video here, and I showed the video was crowd shots, people walking down the street, people in restaurants, and so forth. And you know what? I asked a question. I said, what's missing here? The answer, young men. A million lives have been wasted from the Russian perspective, and the Russian offense is stalled. Even the Baltic Sea is being minimized with the vandalism and really terrorism that's going on in Kaliningrad. And I can't help but believe it's not sponsored by the EU and NATO. And honestly, I get what they're doing. I somewhat support what they're doing because the killing's got to stop. It's got to stop. But Europe is tremendously building up its military resources, as we covered yesterday. And I went through percentages of some of the top spenders. For example, Lithuania, that's right in the midst of Russia's next move. They're spent 4.1% of GDP. And I'm thinking, man, can you imagine if we put that money into schools and hospitals and things that do good for people? That's not where we're at. And Vladimir Putin, he may go to the Russian Orthodox Church, but that's often used as an element of oppression where government officials put on the robes and you know the rest of the story. He's not overtly a Stalinist, but he's a Stalinist. You oppose him, your car is going to blow up. Folks, I'm sorry to say that, but he's not the gentleman he appears to be when he puts on the suit and tie and acts dignified at international meetings like G7. He's vicious. He's a former KGB operative. Do I need to say any more? And he is not going to give up. He has no interest in quitting the war, and Trump sees that. You notice they're not talking deal anymore.
Trump is recognizing the fact that we're going to have to probably fight Vladimir Putin in a war of self-defense. It's biblical and legal, international law too. You can defend yourself if you're being threatened. I think the strike on Iran shows that we could not let the nutcases that run that country, who abuse their own people tremendously, disappear any dissenters. And you're going to let them have a nuclear weapon after they said, we're going to wipe out Israel, we're going to wipe out America. And they've been saying it for decades. And their terrorist actions and their creation of Hamas, Hezbollah, blah, 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 blah. You get the idea. That was self-defense. No nuclear weapon for people that crazy. And I'm talking leadership, not the citizens. Putin's in that same boat. He is out of control, but he's losing in Ukraine. Stepped up use and expanded parameters of the use of American as well as other NATO countries' military innovations are kicking his butt on the battlefield. The Russian tanks are ineffective. The troops are going through absolute hell. I'm going to actually cover this weekend in a segment how bad it is in the Russian military. Oh, it's worse than bad. I'm going to save that for later, not for now, but I'm just going to say this. Putin cannot win in conventional manner in Ukraine. It's over. And his stockpiles are being depleted. Some of his nuclear bombers were blown up in that infamous raid involving the drones sent by Zelensky, who I'm not a fan of, but his country did not deserve what happened to them. And I think we need to draw down and say, what's Putin going to do? He's not quitting. If Trump couldn't get him to quit, and I can tell you, here's the backroom discussion. Vladimir, you know, those people that want to establish an illegitimate world government, and they talk so absolutely in public. They tell you what's coming. The end of free will is here. You'll have no say over your money. You'll live where we tell you. You'll eat what we say. We saw all this, and it's in writing. It's on video. I've covered it. I did a couple of shows with Clay Clark on this. In fact, I actually talked about some of these elements at a Clay Clark conference. These people are pure evil. Some people say descendants of fallen angels. I don't know that to be true, but would it surprise me when we go to meet our maker and we learn all these things? Yeah, I think that is very possible. They're very, very diabolical. And Putin has said, I want nothing to do with your crap. And Trump is right there with him. There could have been formed an alliance, strong economic benefits for both countries, an opening up of cultures to become more familiar, to be friendly, to approach another country out of respect rather than with the barrel of a gun. Yeah. Trump gave Putin that option to rise up and say, no one could mess with this alliance, Russia, US, and let's use it for good. Let's build up the world's economy, not just our own, but let's let it spill over to the rest of the world and really stop some of these evil people in the world that have hoarded to unbelievable degrees where people suffer. There was an option there. And now Putin has slapped the hand away that tried to make him great on a world stage, a humanitarian, a rescuer of his own economy that he is wrecking with this war effort. And I have to tell you, I'm not a fan of Ukraine's government at all, and less with Zelensky as a human being. But I got to say, the Ukrainian people, you people are as tough as it gets. I just wish you didn't have to go through the suffering. And the Russians don't like it. There's Russian people that are saying this is an illegal war. Oh, they're saying it quietly, but they're saying it. And they know it's a war of imperialism. Putin's out of options, and he has shown he's not going to be reasonable. This is like Trump with Iran. He gave them a lifeline for 60 days. We don't want to go to war with you. We don't want anything to happen to you. We don't want Israel to do anything. We don't want to do anything, but you will not have nuclear weapons. We'll work out trade agreements with you. Your people will benefit. You will benefit as the leaders. And they just wanted to continue down that path of evil and warlike destruction. And Trump gave him a deadline, and he was good on his deadline when Israel attacked on the 61st day after a 60-day pause. Putin's the same way, same way. Hitler was the same way. Idi Amin was the same way. There's something about extreme dictators. They tend to follow a very similar behavior pattern. And I will tell you, as a former therapist, I can tell you right now that Putin suffers from what we call antisocial personality disorder, which is a combination of the old psychopath and sociopath blended together. And it was a few versions ago in Diagnostic Statistical Manual called DSM for therapists. Where they define mental illnesses, they combine the two concepts together. Putin is classic. He is classic. You notice Trump? He don't want civilians to die. They gave warnings. Big difference between the two. Putin's out of options, except for two. The biggest option, and I don't think we'll be there, but I think we could end up there, ICBMs. London, Paris, Berlin, perhaps Washington, D.C. You notice that Trump is being friendly to NATO, where he called them out previously for not paying their fair share, and we were shouldering the burden of defense of Europe. And he said, we're not going to do that. You're going to pay the same that we're paying. But he's there, and he's supporting them. He's taken a side against Putin. Well, he's not announcing it. I think he's leaving the door open for reason, but I don't think that reason's coming. And I think Trump believes that too. ICBM option, possible. But at this time, not likely. It's more of an evolutionary process. Push leads to shove, leads to a punch, leads to a kick, leads to a knife, leads to a gun, and you get the escalation of violence. I think that's how we end up with the ICBM. We're going to bring the world to a standstill kind of option. But there's something in between that I think is very likely, and I think it could happen before the end of the summer, because Putin's under pressure from the oligarchs. If he doesn't produce results, he will be gone. They almost sacked him, gosh, maybe 12, 13 years ago. He disappeared. I even did a satirical piece. Had a milk carton with his face on it. Have you seen me? Call 1-800-Kremlin. And some have been following me for a long time may remember that. And that was kind of tongue in cheek and half serious. He is in danger from his own people. And the more Russians that die, the more they get drafted against their will. And where are all the young men? They're either dead or they've left the country. Russian immigration with young men is off the charts, and Putin's trying to stop it. They're finding clever ways to get out. It's just like the Iron Curtain didn't stop all the people from Eastern Europe coming to the West. Tactical nuclear weapons is his next option. I don't think he'll strike Kiev with it, but I do think some of these NATO stronghold stockpiles will be the first target. And I think he'll start with less people, more weapon supplies. Here comes your tactical, or the equivalent of a tactical nuke, which is one of these supersonic ballistic missiles, which carries the same punch. What will the international community do when that happens? NATO will be committing troops. I hope that we don't put one boot on the ground because this is still ultimately a European conflict. We can give supplies. I'm not in favor of boots on the ground. And I believe our president is in the same way, or he may actually go to token boots on the ground. But Europe, this is your fight. We'll support you with logistics and supplies. I'm hoping that's the case. But I will tell you, when Putin pulls out that option, and he's out of other options, he does not have a conventional strategy that can win in Ukraine. And he's not done with Ukraine. He wants Eastern Europe. He wants Estonia. He wants Latvia. He wants Lithuania. And if he really has the big designs, then you got the big boys, Poland, Czechoslovakia, that are next on the list. He's not stopping. He wants to rebuild the Soviet Empire. The oligarchs are behind him. And if he can't produce, it'll just be like a coach that doesn't win. He's going to get sacked. So he's a desperate man backed into a corner. Trump has given him lifeline after lifeline, and he has not taken it. Prepare yourselves, people. And you say, well, what can I do individually? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. Food, water, guns, gold, ammo, natural medicine, and tools. And you're saying, why would you recommend guns and ammo? Because things can get really dicey here if supply lines get strangled because of a war effort. And food will become your number one problem. You can get water filters. You'll find water anywhere. Just can you drink it? Well, if you filter it properly, you can drink it. Food's a different matter. And you may not have time to grow your garden. And depending on where you're at, if you follow Daisy Luther, she does a really good job. I mean, she does a great job. She tells you how to garden in your home, regardless of where you live. You could be in the northern climates of Montana or Minnesota, yet you can garden in your home. She's really good at what she does. You might want to pay attention to her. Daisy Luther. All you gotta do is search engine her. Food, water, guns, gold, ammo, natural medicine, and tools. Now I have my storable food and I use my Patriot Supply. They got pretty good deals. Food's great. I mean, food is awesome and there's a great variety. So if you want your food, just go to preparewithdave.com. Now back to the guns and ammo issue. Why are we talking about that? Because if you have a breakdown, you may have to defend your family and your home. I mean, I hope it doesn't come to that. And it's a horrible decision to have to make. Do I have to use force to defend myself, my family? You want to take my car? I'm not going to shoot you. You want to do harm to my family? Well, self-defense is biblical. So therefore, that's why I say food, water, guns, gold, ammo, natural medicine and tools. And gold could be a universal standard of purchase. Trading and bartering when in a society that breaks down is what a society eventually retreats to. So you better have some resources in there you can barter too. And unfortunately, people will be bartering things like cigarettes and liquor, and it'll carry a high price. How do I know? Because previous conflicts have shown us that. Doesn't mean you have to use them, but it might mean you have to barter and trade to get what you need, which might be some food, unless you pack up on the storable food. By the way, storable food, 25-year shelf life. Yeah, so the worst thing that happens if conflict doesn't make you exhaust your supplies, then you eat your mistake. I'm Dave Hodges. This is the Common Sense Show. Pray for peace. But we know between now and the tribulation and all that will come in the last 3.5 years of the tribulation, we know there's some tough times ahead. But the book of Matthew promises that when you're faithful to the Lord, he will never depart from you. We'll see you back here next time.
Hello, America. Dave Hodges here. I'm the host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. Really good to be with you. Wow, what a story. Iran, are they trying to start their own war? I mean, they're talking out of both sides of their mouth. Syrian girl is reporting that Iran is saying, we're not quitting the war. European media, many places, are saying the same thing. Trump is saying they've agreed to the civil war, they're just mouthing off. Hard to say, but I will tell you there's a pressure point that Iran has a measure of control over, and it could slow down or even disrupt oil shipments out of the Middle East. This will be a brief, to the point presentation, but it's very important. Some people know. I'd say most people don't. We have to do a better job teaching geography in our schools, don't we? Particularly our public schools. Anyway, you know who I am. You know what we do here. We're really glad to be with you, Dave Hodges, freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. And let's pull up something here that I want you to see. Now, if you're on audio, I'll have to describe it for you.
But the audience right now on social media is looking at the Strait of Hormuz, a short distance between United Arab Emirates, Onan. It's down the road from Qatar. And it's a very narrow passageway with oil coming out of the Middle East that passes through this very narrow Strait of Hormuz. When the war started, cargo ships turned around. They didn't want to get caught in this. Now, we're saying that 50% of Iran's defenses are gone. Their military may be doing something interesting. We'll cover that in the next segment. But the Strait of Hormuz is something that the mullahs, the Ayatollah, and what's left of their military command structure has some measure of control over. This is very easy to mine. It's very easy to attack. And I believe the attacks, if it were to come, will be indiscriminate. They don't care if it's military, civilian tankers would be better. Disrupt the flow of oil. This is not good. And we've always known the Strait of Hormuz could be a problem. Now, laying mines, do we have the capability of clearing them? Yes, we do. But you're talking about a delay in commerce. And could it happen on an ongoing basis? Perhaps. But then we would have to re-engage or get the Israelis to do it on behalf of the world. We're running short of missiles. The Strait of Hormuz is a hot spot, and it could serve to really inflate greatly the world's economy. We could see energy slow down, supply lines affected. Very serious situation. Heck of a time for Donald Trump to come into office, don't you think? I'm Dave Hodges. This is The Common Sense Show. Make sure you check us out at thecommonsenseshow.tv, our Hiding in Plain Sight series, Congressional UFO Investigations, Powers of the Mind, Withheld Technology, kind of fun stuff. And then, of course, our geopolitics and our interviews. Thecommonsenseshow.tv. Sign up today.
This is not meant to be a hit piece. People have the right to have any faith. They have the right to be naturalized, come into the country, and when they're citizens, assume full rights. They have the right for any political affiliation, as long as it doesn't call for the violent overthrow of the United States. That's the law. I'm not disparaging anyone from those rights, but Zoran Mandani. There's more than meets the eye, and he convicts himself with his own words. First of all, he's soon going to be under investigation by Pam Bondi at the request of a congressman from New York. And supposedly, it's alleged Mandani lied on his naturalization papers 7 years ago when he said, "I'm not a communist." And then he denied communist beliefs that were specifically asked. And we're going to go through and expose some of the things he said that shows there's a good reason for this investigation. And I don't know the outcome, and innocent until proven guilty, of course. But his ideas, as an American citizen, I feel compelled to say they are anti-American, they're dangerous, and I can't believe what people are thinking. I think people have lost their mind who vote for this guy. I do have a theory on why some people vote for him. We'll cover that later. But let's get into some of the things that Mr. Mamdani, who looks like he's going to be the next mayor unless he's legally derailed, we're going to take a look at this and we're going to listen to some of his views. He's pro-Iranian, he's pro-Hamas on the record. Now, Iran created Hamas, terrorist organization. They have killed Americans. They are designated a terrorist group in the United States, and anyone affiliated with them, well, you get the idea, okay? He wants to defund the police. In a city like New York City, where crime is just flying off the handles, and you want to defund the police? Crazy. Rent control. Rent control. So, as inflation continues, creation of the Federal Reserve, there'll always be some level of inflation because of the money practices and the way money comes into creation. He says, okay, as things go up,
that the renters can't be forced to share in those increased expenses. God forbid anyone make any money off the rental properties. In fact, with this guy, if you progress this out, owning an apartment building is going to be a losing proposition that he seems not to care about. He is for absolutely, totally open borders. And here's a legality. He wants Medicaid for illegal aliens, but not for Americans. He wants state and city tax money. He doesn't have any control over the state, but he does the city if he's mayor. And he wants that for illegal aliens and not American citizens. His words, not mine. Not mine. I question the legality of that. First of all, even if people who aren't documented can receive taxpayer-funded assistance, okay, you can't exclude American citizens. It's a 14th Amendment violation, equal protection under the law. This is totally illegal. Let's continue. He has called for the release of criminals from prisons and jails. He was asked, violent criminals? He goes, violence is a term that's concocted by the establishment to lock their political enemies away. No restrictions on who's released. So is he saying there's no such thing as armed robbery, aggravated assault, rape, sexual assault, child trafficking, murder one, murder two, manslaughter? There's no such thing. It's a concoction of the establishment. He said the white, wealthy establishment to lock away enemies. That's a paraphrase, that last part. This is crazy. No one's going to be safe. We continue. Trump has an option. I think it's going to fail, and I'll tell you why. It's called the Communist Control Act of 1954. Clearly, he can be linked to the elements that are linked in the statute. Here's the problem. Even though the Supreme Court came out and said, you federal judges, knock it off. You can't ban the president from doing something nationally. You only have control within your own jurisdiction. You don't think he's going to find federal judges to uphold what he's doing and to negate the use of the Communist Control Act of 1954? Of course he is. I don't think there's a check and balance there. Unless he can be derailed for falsifying statements on his naturalization papers, I don't see any way to stop him. But there's more. This is where I think he could get into big trouble. Now, this could be more bluster than reality, and he could be talking big and not delivering, but I think there's an incitement to violence here too. And I think he opens himself up to this because he said the following. We will use city resources to keep ICE out of New York City. First of all, we don't have to even go to the violence card. It's interference in a federal police officer's duty. And they're allowed to go anywhere in the United States to enforce federal law. So are the federal marshals. And he's going to keep these people out. That is a violation of federal law. If he makes good on that claim and he's not blustering and just talking trash, he could find himself in very deep trouble, just like the judge in Wisconsin, Judge Dugan. He could be in the same kind of mess. Amazing. Well, Tom Homan says, well, we're just going to show him we're going to put hundreds, if not thousands, of federal agents in New York City. Here we go. Is he trying to start a bigger conflict? Not Tom Homan, but Mondani? I don't know. I don't know. The people of New York City have the right to elect anyone they want. But I'm just flabbergasted at who would support him. Now, I'm going to show you something here, and we'll talk our way through it for the audio part of our audience, audio only. This is phenomenal in its implications. I have here, we can only get the first three pages. Isn't that interesting? You're supposed to have full disclosure when you're running as a candidate. You have to list every nickel and dime from every donor,
publicly available. I could only get the first 3 pages. Yes, you heard me correctly here. I could only get the first 3 pages. But within the first 3 pages, there's a pattern linked to past criminal alleged behavior with Act Blue that's under federal investigation right now. And if you don't know what Act Blue is, it's a fundraising arm of the Democratic Party. It's thought that they raised as much as $1 billion for Kamala Harris's campaign. But there were some problems there that are under DOJ investigation. Yeah, if you're watching this on social media, you can see what I'm talking about. If not, I'll describe it for you very clearly in an audible format here. In this column, you have the name of the campaign donor. Okay, you have the city and zip code. You have the recipient, which is in every case here, Zoran Mandani. You have the date and you have the amount. Okay, now I want to ask you just a common sense question, and this is what they have found in Act Blue with regard to Kamala's campaign and even going back to Biden and Obama's campaign, where they're finding a similar pattern where some people are making multiple donations. Well, some people have gone around, and you may have seen the videos on YouTube, where they've gone and said, hey, James Smith, you donated $100 to candidate XYZ. Oh, yes, we did. Well, did you also donate $500 3 days later? Did you donate $5,000, $15,000 the week after that? No, we couldn't afford that. We saw that over and over and over. And this is what the DOJ is looking at. The pattern is one person, multiple donations. Let me ask you a question. When you've made donations, have you ever made five, six, seven? Have you ever made two or three? It's usually overwhelmingly one donation per person. Keep that in mind. Okay, here we go. We have here Matthew D. Brockman, two. Brenda Coughlin, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. How likely is that? And we're talking about 100, 100, 100, 250, 100, 250, 100, and 100. Does that sound like normal behavior pattern for political campaign donations? I don't think so. Now, by itself, one doesn't make any difference. But remember, I only have access to the first 3 pages of should be hundreds of pages. But let's continue. Here we have Michael Granata, Astoria, New York. Is that within the bounds of the New York City? I don't think it is. Why would he be donating outside? Okay, here we go. Three, 120, 400, 260, three. Let's go to page two. Michael Granata. Okay, you can see it again. 260, Michael Granata. Another entry. 260, Michael Granata. 250, Michael Granata. 110. By the way, this is publicly available documentation. I'm not violating anyone's privacy, not breaking any laws, any confidence, and so forth. This isn't like student academic records that are protected under FERPA. This is public, and it's published in the New York Times. Yeah, I couldn't get this from the New York State Election Commission. Can't get it. Why? Okay, continuing. Let's go down here. Here's another individual. Mohammed Malas, Laguna Beach, California. Boy, how interesting is that? 1218, $500. Mohammed Malas, Laguna Beach, February 16th, 2 months later, $500. Interesting, isn't it? Then you have Michael Malav, 180, 1000. Now he is from New York. Let's go to the last page I have access to. We scroll down here and we're going to look for duplicate names here. Here's another one. Zachary Stiegel, Brooklyn, 90. Same designation, 35. And then you have Sam Stein, two entries. And it's interesting they end in the W's. I mean, they left out the middle of the alphabet on this list. And I'm not sure why they would, but I should be able to get access to it. And I can't. And by the way, this is published at, you can see up here, the NYC FB info, da-da-da-da, candidates. Okay, so here we go. You've seen multiple donations, and it's common. I would guess ballpark figure 35, 40% of the donations on these three pages are multiple. One person had seven donations. This is what the DOJ is looking at with regard to past elections in terms of Act Blue's content. I don't know if this is Act Blue related. I have no idea. But if I were Pam Bondi and I'm already involved in an investigation that contains this pattern, this is fair game. And then you wonder about why is someone from Laguna Beach donating to the New York City mayor's office? Well, there could be a perfectly rational explanation. But I've tried to find out who's the big money behind this guy. Now, the New York Times has said, and this is as of last week, he has raised $845,000. The amounts here don't even come close to this. This doesn't even total $100,000. Doesn't even total, well, totals below $100,000 aggregate. Where's the rest of the money? Why can't I find this? It might be my own incompetence as a researcher. So I'm asking you, ladies and gentlemen, please do your own research and see if you can't come up with more than what I have produced here and see if you find similar patterns. But there's got to be big money behind this guy, and it's totally obfuscated. Now, I will tell you this, my mind works like this. Who does he sound like? Well, he sounds like Bernie Sanders and AOC. Who funds those two? One of the biggest names in international finance that continually interferes in our elections. Who do you think that is? I don't know who's doing this, but we need to know. This is going to get really controversial if he wins. Now, stay tuned because I'm going to give you a profile of people on the ground, people like you and me, average people. Who would vote for these policies I've talked about? Let the prisoners out. I mean, this is craziness. That's insane on its face. That one thing right there, I might like everything this guy says, but the minute he says, we're going to open up the gates of the prisons and jails and ollie-ollie oxen free, that's where this person loses my support if he had it in the first place. What say you? I can't wait to hear your comments. And like I said, this is not meant to be disparaging, but we're putting him under the same lens as we can put any other political candidate under. He's being treated no differently here in this forum than anybody else would be treated. This is publicly available information. His statements of support are public. Can they be interpreted to be communist? If they are, he's in some trouble. Until a federal district judge rescues him. And then that matter will probably go to the Supreme Court, and it'll be interesting to see what happens. Thank you for joining us. By the way, I left off one thing. You saw when Tom Holman was speaking in New York, how he had to be held back by police officers and got arrested. Okay. Is that who you want to elect? Can't you deal with someone who can address someone civilly? And not try to break through a police blockade with bodies. You've seen the video. It's a scary time in America. Because I don't think this is going to be the only instance of someone who has such historically anti-American views projecting themselves into this forum. This is scary, scary stuff. I'm Dave Hodges. This is the Common Sense Show.